Because you can handle the truth. Truth.
The network doing financially. I put the call out last week. You know, John and all their other hosts were, and so don't know how long the network's got. It's always tight. And so remember, if you got a little extra, donate it to the network. Keep everybody on. None of the hosts get paid. We all do this just because. And so powerful warnings for all Americans to prepare for the law of the jungle. America moves closer to open warfare within as hysteria arrives and hurricane ravaged Puerto Rico. How does this not turn into the Lord of the Flies? Tragic shooting at Burnett Chapel Church of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee, proving to us how quickly everything can change in just a moment's time. Every day provides us with more and more evidence of why we always need to be prepared for the unexpected. With America inching closer and closer every day to civil war, known and unknown dangers in the road ahead of us. You know, and they're talking about this shooting. If he's a BLM guy and he looks like some kind of African Sudanese kind of African nut, the war's just kicked into open warfare. Couple this with the NFL debacle. So, you know, I don't really want to have to change my habits, but I have because, you know, where I live, you're out late at night. You really are playing roulette. Shooting the craps, just so much, you know, knucklehead stuff happens in St. Louis here where I live late at night to where, you know, I don't know. We just got to watch it. So be ready, folks. Let's take Tom in Florida. How you doing tonight, Tom?
Yeah, good day, Robert. Long time no talkie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert, I got some. I got a little material for you first off. Now, that guy Jeff, I think he should write a book. It should be his book. The name of his title of his book he should write should be "They Be Exposed," so he can show some of these minority groups what the Zionists are actually doing. That's going to be the name of his book. They Be Exposed. And the other caller before him, I think the other caller, he should realize that we have this country run by a bunch of Anthony Wieners. We got a bunch of Wieners running Washington, like Tricky Dick Nixon said. He said it right. He goes, "Where all the Jews come from?" Nixon said that. It's even in the book, and that's why they took him down. Because he even said he tried to expose the whole thing. But what I want to talk. And another thing, Robert, you're talking about blacks wanting to live in white neighborhoods with their million-dollar mansions. You know why they're doing that, Robert?
Why?
They're doing that, Robert, because they have white women to protect. Because 7 out of 10 NFL football players and basketball players are wanting white women. Let's tell the truth. And listen, you want to talk about 1845 to slavery? You know what the first genetic action, genetic engineering was in 1840s? So they were breeding the blacks to be bigger and taller. You know why, Robert?
Go ahead.
You know they were actually doing that back in 1840s? The white slave owners, and by the way, the biggest slave owners in 1865 when the Civil War ended, Robert, were black males. Did you know that? It was on the History Channel. The two biggest slave owners in the South were black men. Why don't they ever talk about that to all the kids in the schools? But let me go
doesn't
back to what he
narrative.
Did, genetic engineering.
Yeah,
they did genetic engineering, so they want him to pick more cotton. The bigger they were, they figured the stronger they were, they picked more cotton for the slave master. Okay? Yeah. Let's just tell the truth the way it is. And I'll tell you another thing about this Black Lives Matter and these NFL football players. If these guys weren't making these million-dollar contracts playing a game of football back, they couldn't even play back in the 70s. Because in the 70s, you had to be an animal like Jack Lambert and Jack Russell. Those guys were really knocking your head off. These guys nowadays, you have a little spring. They sit out and they're making multi-million-dollar contracts. It's disgusting what they've done to the NFL. It's absolutely disgraceful. These guys are not playing football. They're playing pansy ball. Okay? They're not coming out with broken bones or anymore. These are pansy swines that are being – and let me tell you, look at the NBA commissioner, the NFL, they're all Zionist. They only play 1% of the game of football. I don't think there's 1% of Jewish males playing football. Okay? But they control the mindset of the game. Let's tell like this is. And I'll tell you another thing, Robert. There's so much stuff, material. You want to talk about what you're talking earlier about the monuments? You know what? Abraham Lincoln, if you ever did a show for 3 hours on his papers the last 3 weeks before John Wilkes Booth blew his head off, you will see that Lincoln was the biggest slave trader, the biggest slave turner of them all, because he was going to ship them all back to Liberia and Monrovia.
Yeah, a lot of people been covering that a lot lately. Yeah, a lot of people been covering that.
Yes, and I'll tell you another thing that's really historic. If you watch the History Channel, they were talking about William Tecumseh Sherman, and at the end when he dies in 1870, I believe it was 1874, he dies. He had Union soldiers coming to his house begging him for coins. He dropped little coins in their thing, and these guys were actually asking him, "What the hell do we fight this war for?" They were all penniless, the Union soldiers that actually supposedly had won the Civil War. And Sherman, you know what he said? In the History Channel, he even said, he goes, "I'm just glad I didn't have to come up against Stonewall Jackson." Can you believe that? That was on the History Channel. And he was afraid to come up against Jackson on the battlefield. And that's why the South did lose, because Jackson was gone. Because remember, the South was kicking ass in Bull Run. They were winning. They won a lot of battles. Nathan Bedford Forrest never lost a battle, Robert. As a matter of fact, he's the reason he gave you guerrilla warfare. If you ever heard the term guerrilla warfare, it all started with him in the Southern Army. Seriously. Now, going back to Black Lives Matter, can you imagine if what millions of white males would go and watch it and say, "White Lives Matter"? And you're talking about South Africa? You know, and you made a great point, Robert. If I'm not mistaken, I remember before that guy, the clerk, gave up South Africa. Is it true that the South African government at that time had nuclear warheads? And who got those nuclear warheads? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I thought I remember hearing that the South African white government at that time, right before Mandela, I believe they had nuclear warheads. And I think I heard Israel took them to Israel. Is that the truth?
Well, supposedly they were both developing together, the Israelis and the South Africans, race-specific bioweapons, which then got re-mentioned in the Project for a New American Century documents as well, race-specific bioweapons. Very interesting stuff. And then the Israeli or the Zionists, you know, all the big mining families and so forth that operate down there shoved it to Whitey right when the time was right. You know, the whole thing against the worldwide movement against apartheid, all the music stars and all the celebs and blah, blah, blah. And then basically here's what was so funny. So many blacks from the surrounding countries flooded into South Africa because of its prosperity under the white government. And then Mandela gets out of jail, takes over, and the place gets basically wrecked. And now it's turning back into a crap hole. And so it is what it is.
Well, Robert, let me ask you another thing. And by the way, Jeff, I think he should start his book out. I think he should start his book out about the Arsenio Hall case. Remember when Arsenio brought Louis Farrakhan on and he was talking about the slave who actually owned the slaves? Jeff should start that out. The first chapter of his book should be about how the Arsenio Hall went from what he did to what he is a zero, from a hero to zero with the blacks, because when he starts talking about the Zionists controlling the slave ships, that was the end of Arsenio. I think Jeff should
start
that.
Yeah, that was the book. That was the book put out by the Nation of Islam, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volumes 1 and 2.
Well, they started in the NAACP, the Jews.
Yeah, National African American Communist Party. All Jewish run up until, like, what, the 1960s or something.
Absolutely. But, Robert, you know, you said something that is intriguing to me. You said in South Africa, or another caller said, and maybe it wasn't you, that all these whites are getting slaughtered in South Africa. And if that's the case, why hasn't the English government, the white European government, said that's enough is enough? Because we're going to take these people, bring them into Europe or take them to Australia, get them out of South Africa. If they're in that much peril and that much jeopardy to get murdered, why isn't an American bringing these white South Africans here?
While Trump was running for president, I was tweeting all kinds of stuff at him like that. You need to save the whites in South Africa, right, and bring them here as refugees. These would be real refugees. And I guarantee you, in one generation, those people would come here and become successful.
Yes, absolutely. Robert, another thing, I live in South Florida here. We had a little bit of a hurricane, though not like the Keys and all that. And I can tell you right now, in the Key West and all, in Naples area, they got racked a little bit. But you know what? I was talking to this Haitian guy I happen to know, and he told me every Haitian in Haiti wants to get out of Haiti and Santo Domingo to come to the United States. They all want to get over here because, yeah, you know what? Any black government is run by, look, it's like, you ever see the movie Black Hawk Down? You see what those white soldiers had to go and deal with. I mean, if you've seen the movie, you'll understand. But this guy's telling me all the blacks want out there because they kill each other left and right in Haiti.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could sit there and watch these folks in Africa and in parts of, where you're talking about in the Caribbean. I mean, they sit there and light people on fire. Throw gas on them and light them on fire because they stole a little bit of food. They behead each other. I mean, it's insane. And they've brought millions of these people into Europe, and then they expect these people to become instantaneous European Western civilized people as soon as they absorb them into Europe. They expect that. I mean, it's just so insane. They knew what they were. They knew what they were bringing. Merkel just won a fourth term in Germany.
Unbelievable. Jerkel. Yeah. She's a Stasi Jew. She's an East German Jew. But yeah, Robert, I want to tell you this. In Haiti and all them countries, they give you they put a rubber tire around you, and that's how they take care of you over there. But in Chicago, look at all the inner cities. Look at Chicago, Robert. Look at Detroit. Look at Philadelphia. Look at L.A. I mean, it's insane. Matter of fact, they have more gang members in L.A. than you've got National Guard in the whole state of California. You know that?
Well, I hear San Francisco is so ate up as far as certain blocks. You got millionaire tech people working for the tech giants, and then you get over a couple blocks, and it's just feces in the streets. And, now they've got a hepatitis outbreak in downtown San Diego because all the homeless just defecating all over the place and not washing their hands. They're trying to call in Homeland Security. This is how bad it is.
Well, Robert, on Fox News tonight, they were reporting how many Chinese were sneaking through Mexico in the southern border. They caught like 250 of them, I believe, in a two-month period of red Chinese who are coming in here. They don't know if they're spies or what. I mean, this is insane what's going on. But, getting back to the real problem here, you got all these white people going to these football games, paying these black athletes millions of dollars. And, can you imagine if all the white people were to boycott like Donald Trump saying, hey, we're not going to watch your crap football, your pansy football anymore. And that scumbag Curry, whose mother happens to be white, I guess, that guy Curry, that's another joke. I mean, it's an abomination of the alien nation. We're all going to get constipation because of all this crap. And those leftist schmuck media is disgraceful. But that guy Curry, they're paying that guy $50, $100 million to play basketball. What else could that scumbag do? What else could he do?
NFL
players paying all this kind of money, these NFL guys, for playing a game that you can't even barely touch the guy anymore. I mean, it's disgusting. And hey, Robert, let me ask you a question. I got something to tell you and your audience. Can you imagine if they raised the basketball hoop to 12 foot so all these 7-footers couldn't dunk the football? Let's see how great they are when they raise it. Matter of fact, raise the hoop to 11 foot. Raise it up another foot. See how great these guys in the NBA are with their dunks and all that. Come on. I'd rather go watch a bunch of little midgets play basketball where they can dunk the basketball at 5.5, 6 foot. And they're only 2 foot.
Tom, man. Thanks.
About all these leftists. And you know what, Robert? Back in the day, the Jews used to use subliminals at the movie theater to go buy more popcorn and Coke. It's exactly what they're doing to the American white public. They're trying to brainwash. It's all brainwashing. And Zod knows what they're doing. And Robert, thanks. One more thing. You brought up a few months ago. I'll never forget what you said. I want you to talk on your next episode. I want you to start talking about the Sephardites, because that's where the real truth lies, Robert.
All right, man. I'll try to do that. So appreciate you calling, Tom. I want to cover this article real quick, and I'll take the next caller. This is off of Hot Air. and pull this one up, everybody, if you're near the computer. Maryland Democrat will speak at a group that says Trump mentally unfit for office. And I think this is going to play into this NFL comments and then the Rocket Man comments and the Twitter behavior and the rest of it. Now, you look at this guy, Representative Jamie Raskin, this Jewish guy of Maryland. And look at the picture of him here on Hot Air. He's a real, real nice looking guy. Will be the keynote speaker at an upcoming event organized by a group called Duty to Warn. Remember this, folks, Duty to Warn. Duty to Warn has called for President Trump's removal from office under the 25th Amendment on the grounds that he is not psychologically fit to serve. Raskin is expected to discuss legislation he introduced earlier this year to establish an oversight commission on presidential capacity that can determine if the president is incapacitated. His bill currently has 31 co-sponsors, all of whom are Democrats. Under the Constitution's 25th Amendment, the vice president and a majority of cabinet members or of such other body as Congress may by law provide can jointly declare that a president is unfit to serve. Raskin's bill would create an other body as permitted by the 25th Amendment. The group of mental health professionals plans to host town halls across the nation on October 14th, including one in Washington, D.C., where Raskin will be speaking. So keep that in mind. There's this 25th Amendment movement. I've been talking about it. Let's take Donna in California. How are you doing, Donna?
I would just like to talk about the football thing.
Yeah.
Our flag does not represent tyranny. It represents the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Founding Fathers. Unfortunately, it's been hijacked by the Zionist communists that's taken over our country.
Yeah.
But it does not represent tyranny.
Some people would argue with you, and they say the gold fringe represents military jurisdiction and so forth and so on, but go ahead.
That's part of the takeover. But what I'm saying is...
I would like to
give a definition of patriotism to our country. The best way I know how is what Mark Twain said. He said, patriotism is when you support your country all the time and your government only when they deserve it.
Well, let me give you a Thomas Paine quote. The duty of a patriot is to protect his country from its government. That was another one.
Well, basically the same thing Mark Twain
saying. Yeah, yeah.
He's separating the two. Our countrymen are not our government. They don't represent us now. We know that. They represent Zionism, the State of Israel, and tyranny. But what we have to separate the patriotism and the love of our country from that and realize it's been hijacked.
Yeah.
So,
you know what kills me too, Donna, and even if you're kind of have a bad taste in your mouth about the last century with the wars and everything else, and you know, when you look at the revisionist side of history and so forth, there's still a lot of men who in good faith, in a sense of service, went to their deaths, even if they might have been, not in the know and so forth and so on. And a lot of the guys taking a knee, during the national anthem, while they're at work, I can't do something like that at work. And those guys are at work, too. They have a boss. They're at the workplace and so forth and so on. And so when these punks out here on ESPN and the rest of it talk about free speech and this and that, well, these guys are at work and they have bosses and they have contracts, and I can't speak freely at work, and most of you that are listening can't either, because there are repercussions. And so people don't want to make this differentiation either. And that's another thing where people get caught up. It's their First Amendment right. Yeah, I guess it is. But yet the owners of the team and the NFL, if they were smart, they would say, you're not going to do that while you're on the job in uniform performing a position where you get paid millions of dollars. Because guess what? It hurts the bottom line. And so it's just as simple as that as well. Go ahead.
Right. Well, unfortunately, our military men have been used for Zionist wars, Zionist bankers, and they did it for the right reason. They were honorable, but I think it's time all of us, and especially the military, wake up and know they're just being used.
Yeah, hold that thought. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Okay, we are back. We are talking to Donna in California, and I wanted to run this by Donna. These characters kneeling supposedly because of police violence against just innocent young black men that sing in the church choir, and they didn't do nothing wrong in their lives and blah, blah, blah. I would like to ask them this. Don't they see that there's a reciprocal relationship between how heavy-handed the police are and the reality on the streets? And then I know that there's police overreach all over the place, even in well-to-do neighborhoods where a flashbang gets thrown in the baby's crib in the wrong house or so forth and so on. Grandma's house gets kicked in. They kill her dog. I know that there's police misconduct. Okay, I'm well aware of that. We, you know, all the alternative media have been covering this for years, but at the same time, people can't make this connection that as the community goes, the police force goes along with it, and the underlying problems in the community cause the police to have to react a lot of times in a more hardcore fashion because the fabric of life itself in the area is just so jaded, and it's went down to such a base level that's just a reality. It's a reciprocal relationship. Go ahead.
Well, I agree with you. That is a reciprocal relationship, but they are overreaching sometimes, and of course that's not right to just kill a black person and their child in the car. So that's definitely overreaching. I don't know why they do it, but it is there. And but also, there is a lot of blacks killing the policemen too. And this
blacks killing blacks in Chicago were about 15 to 20% of the murders are solved, and the rest are not. And then black on white violence is an epidemic, and then black on police violence where a cop just comes up. I was sending this video out to people that on Twitter that you know that I deal with, where it's just a collage of shootings where a cop's walking up to the window and they open fire on the cop. And so people just want to look at things one way, and they don't realize that these guys that are police officers now, I mean, if you took the police away, we would go into Mad Max Road Warrior very quickly. And a lot of people, you know, these anarcho-libertarian types, they'd be the first ones begging for cops to be back on the streets. But at the same time, cops are targets, you know, so often where cops just get shot right when they're walking up to a window of a car, and then the car speeds off. I've got reels of video of this. And so people have to realize that as well.
Oh, sure. That's goes unreported a lot on the mainstream media.
Yeah.
But I would just like to say one thing to the athletes that will not salute the American flag, and that is they need to go live in communist China or Africa, where they would not have the same privileges and opportunities that this country has given them.
Yeah. I've been to Africa, and I'll tell you what. these folks that have to visit these places of serious oppression. You know, these sports guys get to travel a lot, but I don't know if any of them get to like really, really crazy places. And if they did visit communist China, they would be given the kid glove treatment. You know, that's the problem when you visit somewhere and when you have to live under a regime or two completely different things. And so I've visited an African country in the middle of a war zone, Somalia. The shooter today was Sudanese, from what I understand, in the Tennessee church shooting. But these failed states where you see life, it's very, let's just say, it's even cheaper than even in our inner cities in these places. And it's horrible.
Well, yeah, but if they were raised, say, as children in communist China, would they have the same opportunities? I don't think they would.
No. I mean, unless you were lucky enough to have
a parent that was part of the... And they give the communist salute with the fist. They don't realize what they're doing. They're just being useful idiots.
Yeah, and you know, did you see today that actually this game that happened over in England, they stood for God Save the Queen, and then they kneeled for the national anthem, which is very just like, I mean, that's ironic as ironic can be. So,
all right, well, okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, thanks. Bye.
Yeah. probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Support the network, if any way possible, to keep RBN on the air. You'd hate to see it go away. Now, got a couple callers left. I want to get to this article real quick. This is from Michael Massey over WorldNet Daily, a black guy. Raising statues won't end blacks' destructive behavior. And this is a black guy talking, okay? Now, the facts are that blacks have neither the interest nor apparently the understanding to address the elephant in the center of their demographic. Blacks are filled with raw hatred for pieces of concrete memorializing a historic event or figure, but they ignore the following. Over an 86-year period spanning from 1882 to 1968, there were 3,446 blacks lynched in America. So about almost 3,500. 1882 to 1968, okay? Now, it's a black guy giving you the figures. So people were like, oh, lynching, blah, blah, like they were millions of people lynched. Today, approximately 1,876 black children are murdered by abortion every day. That means that the total number of blacks lynched covering an 86-year period has surpassed approximately every 45 hours. Between 7,000 and 8,000 blacks are murdered annually. Between 19, mostly by other black people, by the way. But between 1976 and 2011, 279,834 blacks were killed, with 262,620 of them, 21 of them being killed by another black person. That means 94% of all blacks murdered were murdered by another black person. Yet these buffoons out here making millions, screwing up their own money, alienating their fans, taking a knee about I think there's like 1,000 black people killed by cops, and a lot of them were actually, you know, justified. Very few of them unjustified. Blacks make up 13% of the population, yet they account for more than 50% of homicide victims and more than 50% of homicide perpetrators. Nationally, the black homicide victimization rate is 6 times that of whites, and in some cities it is 22 times higher than that of whites. As Dr. Walter E. Williams has noted, another black guy, conservative guy, the aggregate number of black soldiers killed in military combat in the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and every war since 1980 totals 18,515. That means black males are safer on the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan than they are in the streets of Philadelphia, Camden, Oakland, New York, Chicago, or any other streets one wants to include, St. Louis especially, per capita. It's probably up there at the top still. It always usually is. 17.3 million black children have been murdered by their mothers before they were born by the barbaric practice of abortion since the allowance of encouragement of child killing was legalized. Let's see. It is stunning reality that at the time the Civil Rights Act was signed, 87% of black homes were married to parent households. 40% of blacks were business owners. Today, blacks lead the known world in every quantifiable negative statistic regarding family and personal responsibility. Destroying every Civil War statue, plaque, and Confederate flag in America will have no impact upon the above facts. With these damning statistics, one would think blacks have more to be concerned with about than with the statue of Robert E. Lee. Tragedy is not just a rejection of modernity and uncivilized behavior. It is their revulsion of said facts and their condemnation of anyone who dares address the real issues of blaming white, how they blame white men for everything. Let's see. And I think I'll finish it there, but it pretty much sums it all up. You know, this inability to really scrutinize what the problem is in one's community. And look, we got big problems of corruption across the board. We've got, I mean, so we talk about these things till our faces are blue on a constant basis. But our streets are completely unsafe. People, you know, I hear these black leaders in St. Louis and elsewhere. Well, no capital wants to come into the community. The community is not safe. It's not a place where businesses can thrive. If a business opens, guess what? A grocery store, you know, Five and Dime. Guess what? The place can't even make a buck because there's more theft than there is people actually purchasing things, okay? Until we can address the or somebody wants to open a restaurant. Who wants to go to a restaurant when you got to worry about the place being shot up or come in and do a robbery or whatever? And so it's the same thing with the cartels right now in Mexico, where they're basically strangling the tourist industry, where by making it so unsafe – that now places, you know, Hilton or Crown Hotel chain or any of the other ones, there's cities in Mexico where these people have properties, and guess what? They're not even putting any money to keep up the properties as nice as they should because of the violence and because people are scared to travel to Mexico. Same thing. People are scared to travel to the inner cities of America. They're more dangerous than war zones. And then people want to whine about the cops being, you know, not the nicest guys in the world and respecting my civil rights and all the rest of it. Well, you don't respect anybody's civil rights. Churches have to have bars on the windows, folks, in parts of the city of St. Louis. I mean, until you're ready to come at it like that, until you're ready to address that a church has to have bars on the windows, don't talk to me, all right? Now, let's take... Who's up next? We've got Bruce in Texas. Bruce, good evening, sir. We got Bruce?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Great show tonight. A lot of good callers.
Thanks.
I'm going to be as fast as I can. That way somebody else can get on. But, starters, when Stormfront was taken down,
I mean,
the Stormfront and Daily Stormer.
Daily Stormer's back up. Daily Stormer's back up. Yeah, it's Daily Stormer. It's .is. Yeah, it's up. Dailystormer.is. They're going through an Iceland host service now.
That's good. That's good news. But yeah. The reason it was taken down wasn't because of Nazism. It's because there's too much information being put out. It was a shutdown because the Goyim were starting to know.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
and,
I think...
So the people who attacked us on 9/11 did hate us for our freedoms. They keep trying to take away our First Amendment and our Second Amendment.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, when... You know, like Alex Jones, he wants to constantly whine about the Saudis and so forth in 9/11, and he'll rarely touch the Israeli angle unless the Dr. Steve Pachinik, the Jewish guy's on. He'll throw the neocons and the Mossad under the bus from time to time, but yeah, they were the major players, and so
yeah. Well, I think we need to de-weaponize this whole thing. They use the Holocaust. They use Nazism. They use their stage actors that pose as leaders and protesters or what have you. And the perception we have is a perception created through the media and through education, intentionally distorting the facts surrounding World War II and surrounding the aftermath.
Yeah, well, you know, these people, when you read Saul Alinsky and you get into, you know, Marx and a bunch of the communist apparatchiks, I mean, see, when lying on people and intentionally misleading and all the little nefarious tactics, it's easy for them to lead away the simple and the easy to manipulate and people that think that they can get information from the television. And unfortunately, a large swath of people of all stripes still think that they're going to get, you know, real information from TV, and you're just not.
You're not.
Yeah.
We haven't for forever now, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bummer. And the paper, you know, going back to World War One.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, Dean Henderson, yeah, left hook, yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, did you see his, he was on Rents yesterday, and once in a while he trots out the Nazism, like Alex Jones style.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I took him to task over that at Veterans Today, and he deleted the comment. But someone else did the same thing there on grism.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
Where you can see the archives of that. And as far as I'm concerned, anybody who doesn't, you know, approach history in a factual manner, but falls back on known lies, they're not a member of the truth movement. To me, truth is 100% truth.
You know, Dean's an interesting guy. He's from here in Missouri, and he comes from a hard left perspective. He's a hard left progressive.
He's a hippie style.
He's a real Bernie type Marxist, but he's good on like some things like central banking and so forth. Now, you know, central banking is part of the Communist Manifesto, but Dean has found his way, his little niche in the truth movement. He goes after the Rothschilds and he goes after certain elements of basically world communism, but he's still kind of got the street kind of hard left, I guess. What he considers unfiltered and uncontrolled kind of, you know, kind of kumbaya collectivist. We're all going to, you know, kiss and have a good time and, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, he's an idealist. I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to address the issues of race either. He thinks that everybody, you know, he says Jesse Jackson's a good dude and things of this nature. And he, a lot of these kind of whites that march with Antifa, these whites out here that you saw in St. Louis with the Jason Stockley verdict, these virtue signaling whites, they just don't get it. That there's a large swath of the inner city kind of hardcore black population that hates their guts, and they just use them as optics But I'll tell you, man, there's a lot of black supremacist cults out here that are kill whitey cults, and you see it, and it comes out in the crimes.
Yeah, I think the whole black population in America has been subjected to a giant psyop.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Basically, their evolution has been reversed.
Now, there's plenty of black people that don't buy it. I know a lot of black people that they realize that this is a divide and conquer and so forth and so on. But the problem is there's so many knuckleheads out here in the hoodlum community that buy it hook, line, and sinker. They're ready to just, shoot people up. I was talking to a dude. I talked about it last week on the show. Some dude just came up to him, shot him in the chest, and spit on him. He's like, "How you like that, you white POS, you cracker?" Just shot him in the chest, left him for dead. This dude had his liver split in half, lungs collapsed, bullet bounced all around. It was a 380, and he just shot him.
Yeah,
right?
I heard you.
Yeah, insane.
Yeah. I know a guy, one of my best friends, and he was stabbed at a nightclub. He was a bouncer at a nightclub, and he was stabbed. And then the guy approached him again at a gas station, I guess, to finish the job, and he shot him, my friend was going to be charged with murder and hate crime and all that. The DA said he was going to get a needle in his arm. So finally, the convenience store clerk came up and said he witnessed the whole thing, and it was self-defense, and him off the hook. Yeah, had real white privilege here in the United States. Beaten up and murdered, prosecuted if you defend yourself. Anyway, that's all I got. Let's come on there. Good show.
Thanks a lot, man. Got two callers left. Let's take Dave in Nevada. Haven't talked to you in a while, Dave. Greetings, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Robert?
Good, man.
Good. Just real quickly before I go on to what I was getting, I'm going to talk about the Pope a little bit.
Okay.
But you guys were talking about the police for a little bit.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to say is that before people start talking about the violence between police officers and citizens and vice versa, like the shootings.
Yeah.
I think the real problem is what the average person has on a day-to-day basis who hasn't been shot by a police officer. Because I've never been shot by a police officer, frankly. I've never even seen it before. And the average person hasn't really witnessed a police officer or vice versa shooting, I don't think. But the real problem is this, and this is an experience that I had recently. I was pulled over and detained and written up for a $197 ticket. And the reason why I was pulled over was because I was jaywalking. This is the problem that people have with policing. It's the theft.
The revenue generation.
That's the problem.
Sure.
Yeah, the revenue generation, and this is the problem that people have, is that you're getting pulled over, and everybody knows this, you're getting pulled over, you're going to get written up for a ticket that's going to cost you anywhere between $200 and $500 on average. Everybody knows this, and this is the problem. Why are there police officers in vehicles to begin with? They're in vehicles to pull over other vehicles under maritime law. You're not free to drive. That's the problem that people have. The average person knows that they know that they're not going to get killed or shot. The average person knows this. But it's the psychological warfare. When they see stuff on TV, they understand you better have your hands on the wheel, and you're gonna get taken for a $200 or $500 ticket. That's what's going on.
That's part of it. That is a part of it. Yeah. Well, it is part of it, but it's also, dude, I'm telling you, cops get shot quite a bit.
What I'm saying is that everyone gets shot now. The whole psychology that the news plays up is that the police officer is the victim. That's not always the case.
Oh no, there's a lot of cases. there's a lot of cases where, let's say, the municipality where the cop is a four, it's ran by communist hardcores that want these cops to generate maximum buku bucks. And at the same time, when the cop does it and he's doing his job and the cop gets into it with somebody, then the cop gets thrown under the bus by the same people that were pressuring them to revenue generate. It's a real screwball system we're in.
And no one, and the average cop doesn't understand it, and the average citizen doesn't understand it. Right.
Yeah. And it really depends. It really depends on geographic locale as well. I mean, there's a lot of geographic locales where the cops are totally hands off and they pretty much still respect, you know, the law and so forth.
Right.
And then there's other ones that it's total full blown communism already. You know what I'm saying? You know, looking at Mayor de Blasio in New York City, full blown commie, you know.
Right. And I think where that and that's where it's happening are the major big cities like Chicago, L.A., New York. The big cities have gone communist, and then it's going to spread out into the wherever it is. But here's the other thing: is that the focus is on black victims, and from what I've read or understood is that black people are not the only victims of police shootings. They're 25%. They're like 25%. 75% of the other shootings are other races, including
white
people.
There's cops that actually hesitate more to deal with blacks because they know the backlash is going to be riots and goofy crap. So they feel more shooting a white person's more of a safer shot or to use of force or whatever. You know, there's cops now because all this knuckleheadness that they're backing off, and then innocent people in the black community, grannies and single moms and young people are suffering because now cops are like, screw it, I'm not answering the call because I'm just going to go over here and it's going to get blown up into an incident.
Right.
I got one more caller. Anyways, so what you got? What else you got?
The Pope was formally declared a heretic by
some
cardinals, and
yeah,
and that's very interesting news. And before I go, before these hurricanes happened, the Pope said something very interesting. He said the Second Vatican Council is irreversible.
Yeah,
I don't know if that rings any if that has any significance. But
yeah, there's
a really important statement that he said.
Yeah, yeah. Well, until he's dead, then another pope could say something else. But yeah, that's interesting because, you know, you've seen these other cardinals, and I'm going to get to the other caller in a second, but there's another cardinal that was involved in what they call the Dubia that was just died. You see that, Dave? Another one.
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, yeah. So there's some of these dubia cardinals are meeting their demise, and so that's a lot of people are quite.
I haven't kept up, but I know that there's a formal declaration now, so which that's taking it to the next level.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Let me get to this last caller. Thanks for calling and listening, man. Let's take Kathy. Kathy's
in
Missouri.
Yeah,
go. Come on up.
Hi. Yes. Sorry, you're gonna have to give me a second. I've been on hold. Hour.
Sorry.
And I have to stand outside in the mosquitoes because I'm rural in order to hold. But it was, I've been listening intently. Okay.
Thanks.
What I have to say is important. And I would appreciate the time to finish if you don't mind. All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a chip on the shoulder attitude. And I'm just going to speak honestly with you. If I had not befriended some African Americans, this little uppity, former uppity white bitch, borderline, would be dead. Okay? I'm serious. It's not funny. I've lived in the ghetto. Okay? And I didn't have any problems because I treated people with dignity and respect, and I took them on an individual basis. I was the only white woman on a bus in Dallas, not the safest place to be. I couldn't afford to live in anything else. And because I behaved appropriately, okay, I didn't have any problems. I was in Jackson, Mississippi, the only white woman on the bus. But I have seen things in Boston where, you know, a gang of these girls from, no doubt, Dorchester, you know, would come, you know, come on the red line, go up to Cambridge, you know, MIT, get on with a date, and then slam, pop him in the back of the head. And these girls were, like, stalking, walking, okay, looking everybody in the eye, and I was scared crapless, all righty? I have a very strong countenance. I'm no sissy, but I was scared. Now, I didn't say anything to these girls, but I prayed. And they hit that Indian guy on a date so hard in the back of his head that it was assault. It was criminal, period. And then they got off, and then the jurisdiction becomes a problem doing police reports. I'm in Missouri right now because I got bullied by a Kenyan leaving feces on the freaking toilet. And do you want to know what the landlady said? A white woman, one of my people, a pharmacist? Do you want to know what she said when me and the Chinese graduate student told her, look, this Kenyan is leaving feces on the toilet every day? You know what she said to us, one of my people? She said, I don't care. I don't care if he gets it on the floor. It doesn't affect me. And I said, man, I'm freaking done. In my mind, I thought, I'm done. I'm done. This is disgusting. And I didn't say that then. I called Missouri and I said, do you guys have a room open? So I have been victimized, okay, because of what's going on in this country severely. Yeah. But at the same time, and this is important, my wallet was stolen in New Orleans. Like 30 years ago, stupid enough, 40 years, maybe even 35 years ago, stupid enough, we hid everything and locked the doors and all that. We were right there. And then someone broke the glass out. And my boyfriend at the time, this was a long time ago, over 30 years ago, he walked over to the Domain Projects or wherever it was close by. And the guy on the porch, he said, it makes me cry when I think about this, because this guy was killed 3 weeks later, but we just treated people with dignity and respect. And he said, yeah, my wife's a diabetic, or my girlfriend's a diabetic, and everything's in her purse, and they just stole it. And he said, man, they kill white people here. Man, you better get out of here. So he said, well, you know, we need to get that. It's got sentimental things in it. Bottom line, I called the police, okay? And the police would not come.
Right.
Didn't come, even back then, all right? They said, girl, what are you doing there? You need to get home. My super Christian white friends, they panicked. They said, oh, my God, what are you doing over here? Man, get out of here. Well, guess what? Because we acted appropriately, we got everything back. And the next time we went to New Orleans, we took the mother of that kid to eat at a fancy restaurant with an African-American friend. I really ought to do a show on this with you for an hour. I really want an hour of your time. I really do. I've never asked to be on a radio show before. I'd like an hour of your time for me to tell you some of the things I've witnessed. Because of the way I handle myself, some of the interactions.
Well, let me ask you this: are all the women in Sweden and Finland handling themselves inappropriately when they're being raped right now?
Hold on a second. Where am I living right now? Okay. Do you think I wasn't being bullied by that guy? Where were my people? Are you with me? I couldn't find one man, not one of you men, not one of my men. Yeah, I even had a military friend. I had people with forensic backgrounds. They were all scared, tucking their tail. No one would deal with this man because only a man could deal with a man in that culture. Do you hear me? And so I had a Kenyan. Do you know what I did? I went to a Kenyan business, and I talked to an older Kenyan man, and I said, look, I'm having a problem. Here's some pictures. I got photographs. I got a letter from the Brigham Dermatology Department about this. The pictures were shocking. My landlady, one of us, you hear me? I don't care. It doesn't affect me. See, so there's problems on both sides, but it's also heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, but I want to hear more of this is heartbreaking. What's happened? How did we get where we are? When I went to Europe, the first thing I noted was, wow, the African-Americans or whatever, you know, the black people here, man, you know, they're cultured. You know, when I first went there 30 years ago, first trip out of the country was Haiti. I've seen a lot, but I've also gone up to one guy on the red line, and this was heartbreaking. And he got on with two of these girls, and I thought it was going to be just like the other situation. You hear me? The other one was all girls, gang. And he had this loud music on. It was totally inappropriate, scary. He had his eyes closed. And so you know what I did? Everybody pulled their purses back. Everyone was afraid. And I got up, and I really felt this time I was supposed to do this. And I walked up to him, and I said, I got real close, like real close, before I exited at Harvard. And I said, hi. And I said, do you realize? It was the music going, rap music loud. He's singing along with it out loud. And the girls are eyeing everybody down, the two girls he was with. They were in a different little bit further away. And I looked him right there, and I said, looking him right in the eyes, and I said, do you realize that And he was shocked. I got right up there. See, I wasn't afraid. And I said to him, I said, do you realize that when you got on the train, everyone pulled back and was afraid? Do you realize that? I said, why do you do that? And he said, well, I got to